What is up? And welcome into another very I feel like I always say that they're very special editions. They're all special. Every time we can reunite and talk, it's special. Edition of the Return of the Roar podcast. Your normal hosts, as always, Chris Watkins, Frankie Cardicelli, breaking things down for you. It's been a week, actually a week and some change since we last recorded. So we've actually missed some news. So some of the things we might talk about might feel like old news. We're going to get into Nerlens Noel and what that might mean for this Kings team, and that feels like it happened almost like a month ago at this point. But we're in a dead period right now. So we're going to take any news we can get and we're going to
milk it.
We're going to break it down. Yeah, we're going to milk it. We are. Yeah, we're not going to sugarcoat it. We're going to milk it. So, yeah, I mean, excuse me if some of the content might be a little old, but, you know, we haven't gotten our thoughts down on record yet. So
let's be real. Everyone has the time.
Exactly.
You have the time. We have a lot of time to think about Nerlens Noel, and now we can kind of – and again, I think I've also – I think I went on with you and Whitey on the air.
We kind of
talked about it.
Man, but you want to talk about a month ago.
Jeez. Yeah, we still get the wheels turning and you think about things. Maybe you have thoughts that weren't there a week ago or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
But there's just not much going on right now, which is interesting because there's, I don't know, I think most teams aren't really polished right now either. Like there's always like a roster spot or a two-way open. The Kings have one of each, a roster spot and a two-way. So the offseason is not quite over yet. It feels like it's kind of over. I mean, I'm enjoying the downtime. I mean, I know you are on the air every day talking.
I'm not enjoying
hours.
The downtime.
You're talking
Let
about
me tell you that. Right
talking
now.
About Sean Payton and whatnot
it's
today.
Tough. Yeah,
but hey, man, that's why they pay you the big bucks.
Yeah, well, and it's really going to make me appreciate when things actually get going. I definitely now have a newfound appreciation for the sports calendar because, like you said, it's a deep dark abyss. Right.
I told
now.
You that was a tweet I saw. I saw it on. I can't remember. It was around. I think maybe. The first week, like that in between the first dead period, which is like after the finals and between the draft. And someone's saying how you don't sit there and tell me that hosting a radio show is easy. Like, let's see you host a radio show in like mid late July.
Yes.
When there's nothing going on.
I was just told today that it's going to get worse too. Jason told me earlier that August is really the grind.
There's like, and if you're not a diehard baseball fan or you're
which
really
I'm
into
not.
Training camp for football and like you're on every single update about training camp, which I probably would be like I am for like baseball about spring training. I'm like locked in. You really don't have much else to escape to. Like basketball is done. Like there's no summer league anymore.
Nothing.
That was a nice little kind of Band-Aid to put on that to kind of get you through. But now we're into like – I think we might take a week off, and then after that come back, and we'll start doing our thing where we go to Basketball Reference and talk about a random player. That's what we do.
Yep.
So, but today we're going to talk about the roster.
Yeah, we got some news, actually. Like I said, the Nerlens news happened since our last recording, so let's just get into it. I mean, the Kings signed Nerlens Noel. I think Shams was the one who initially had it out. A one-year, $3.1 million contract. I don't believe if we know that it's a guaranteed contract or
is it, at this point,
just kind of a training camp invite almost, where if he does make the roster, he'll make that money. But if not, I mean, the Kings aren't necessarily tied. Is that kind of correct?
Yeah, I saw somewhere, I think it might have been Hoops Hype. They have a salary cap guy there. Mm-hmm. Taking a minute to load. But
Mike Scotto?
I think it was Scotto. He said that it's like, I think, 200 or 300K up front. And then it doesn't become fully.
Must be nice.
It becomes like half guaranteed, I think, if he makes the opening night roster, then the other half gets guaranteed. It's very weird.
Mm.
And I don't see it in SpotRack, but I did see it come up on Michael Scotto. So I'll have to go find that at some point. But it's a veteran's minimum. So obviously it doesn't count against the cap. I think it's the one that Kings have been tied to for a while, or at least Kings fans have talked about him. For a while, I feel like you and I have talked about him like maybe 2-3 years ago. We mentioned him. I think he was a free agent. Great player, not great, but a very good player for the Knicks about 3 years ago. A shot blocker, his steals and blocks are both up. I think I have it right here with the Knicks. It was that 2020-2021 season. 2.2 blocks per game, 1.1 steals per game. Shot 61% from the field over 65 games. That's exactly the kind of player the Kings need. The only problem is. Over the past two seasons, he's played in 25 games and then 17 games. So we're talking about someone who hasn't played, you know, of even half a season in almost 3 years. So I guess let me ask you off the bat. I know we did talk about it a little bit on the air, but if you missed that, I just want to know, what was your knee-jerk reaction to it? Were you kind of just like, eh? Or was it kind of like, well, maybe the Kings could find something there?
My instant reaction was kind of like what you said, like 2 or 3 years ago, I probably would have been really excited about this and talked myself into it. I think there's maybe still hope that he can be a fraction of that kind of impactful guy that he was on the Knicks. But I, after 2 years of really not seeing much of anything, I just have a lot of questions. I have more questions than I do hopes for Nerlens. I just think if he's healthy and is able to move around like how he was previously, then that's a different conversation. I think that guy can really help this Kings team. And, you know, I don't know where he falls on the depth chart. I don't know if he would be their primary backup option or if it would be a matchup-dependent kind of thing. But, you know, I think if he is healthy, if he is locked in mentally, it can really help this team and just provide something that they don't have anywhere else. Like, no one really provides the skills, the traits, and the profile that Nerlens has. But the pessimist in me, the guy that, you know, is always looking for what's potentially wrong with this. I mean, this is, like you said, this is a guy who hasn't really played a full, even half a season in 2 years. And even then, even when he was playing, you know, was contributing, you know, more with stuff that's not on the stat sheet, which is absolutely helpful. Everybody needs guys who aren't going to, who are going to do the little things that don't show up on the stat sheet. But you would still like to see something show up on the stat sheet. I'm talking 3 points, you know, 5 rebounds is good in that 2021 Knicks season, but really just not somebody that I think at this point in his career is someone to get super excited about unless we see he is healthy. And he's still really young, 29 years old. So there's still hope, but I have very minimal hope that he can still be.
You're
that
saying 29 is young in life?
I'm saying 29 still, like, it's still young in life.
I like,
man,
that
you still
a lot.
Got some good years to live, some good years in front
I'm
of you.
I'm not,
man,
quite to that back nine yet.
Yeah.
Huh?
Not quite, okay, man. Absolutely. You're living,
thanks,
life,
man,
like it's golden at this,
hey,
point.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Nerlens?
So
young Nerlens.
I'm looking right now, and just a quick thought was, I mean, I think it's still funny to point out. I think you pointed this out to me.
I
was
did,
that
yeah. This
Keegan
is my
Murray,
favorite stat.
Keegan Murray was the leading shot blocker,
yes,
for the third seed Sacramento Kings last,
yes,
year.
Yes.
And that was 42 blocks. Domantas Sabonis comes
that's
in at
just barely over a half block per game.
It was about 0.6, I think. So when you look at Nerlens Noel, he has 5 seasons in his career with 90 or more blocks. And even I'm looking at last year, he averaged the same exact amount. I mean, he played in 17 games, but it was 0.6 blocks per game. So we're looking at someone who could come in and just by being himself,
yeah,
going out there and filling minutes,
yep,
he will be a better rim presence the Kings have had in, yeah, a couple of years now. And I think when you look at, like, my knee-jerk reaction, it kind of comes down to, and I looked up a list of players that I think over the past 4 seasons that have averaged 1.5 blocks per game and shot 60% from the field. One of the names that was on there was Hassan Whiteside. So that deterred a lot of people when I pointed that out. But
I don't think it shouldn't.
They're different players.
Yeah.
They're different players.
And if Nerlens is Hassan Whiteside, I think that's a positive for Nerlens. Yeah, Hassan Whiteside should be better than what he was.
Yeah.
And that's where the disappointment comes with his numbers. But if Nerlens is playing to the level of Whiteside, I think that's a positive.
I agree. And I think the biggest thing that was it didn't make sense, but the Hassan Whiteside signing at the time was the Kings were, I mean, there are reports that the then front office with Vlade and that regime, they were leaking they wanted to get younger. So they traded away Nemanja. They did, yeah, all these moves or whatever. Or they said that Nemanja wasn't going to be in the rotation on opening night. And then they, like, signed, I think a week before training camp, they signed Hassan Whiteside.
Right.
Didn't make sense. Now, if you have a player like that on a team like this where you don't have to have a player like Nerlens Noel or Hassan Whiteside go play 20 minutes. We're talking like literally 10 minutes,
yes,
per
10
night.
To 15 max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the Kings need right now. A guy, uh-huh, that is, if they're getting torn up down low, because,
mm-hmm,
again, we're going to get in the rotation. I don't think Nerlens Noel or Alex Len will be the taking the majority of the backup 5 minutes. I think,
yeah,
it's going to be a lot of Trey Lyles.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to worry about that, though. We don't need to worry about Nerlens Noel playing 20 plus minutes. I think an argument I've been seeing on social media, though, is if and when Domantas Sabonis misses time, what do the Kings do?
Yeah.
In your mind, is just go to Alex Len, then you have Noel off the bench?
I mean, that's...
These are all hypotheticals, but that's like the biggest thing. It's how Rashawn Holmes was moved, and there, and that was the argument that he could fill in for Sabonis, but, I mean, the Kings don't run that same kind of style offense, so Rashawn would have been out of whack no matter what, because...
Yeah.
They don't want a pick-and-roll heavy offense.
Maybe I'm in the minority on this, and I've always just kind of believed this. If your stars go down, you're screwed anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter who's in there. If Domantas Sabonis' backup is, you know, maybe if it's Miles, Mason Plumlee or something, it's not as big of a drop-off. But the Kings aren't going to be the team that we saw last year if Domantas Sabonis isn't playing. So if he gets hurt... It's kind of a moot point anyway. They're going to have to be a different team. They're going to have to play a different style. They're not going to be able to be who they want to be regardless if he's not playing. So, you know, it kind of that argument just doesn't really hit me, because at that point you're screwed anyway. And it's kind of like a backup quarterback. It's like if your star quarterback goes down, your season's over anyway. You can try and patchwork it by bringing in a backup, but you're not going to win anything significant anyway. So
unless you have Nick Foles.
Exactly. I mean, exactly. Unless you have Nick Foles. So I think it's more important to have depth in the other positions where those guys are a little bit more on the fringe, if you will. And I think that's where the Kings' depth really lies, is in those guys. But I mean, overall, What would you say for Nerlens? You're happy? Where would you put it after a week and a half of letting it sit?
They had a need, and it's a real like low risk, high reward signing, in my opinion. I think that the worst case, he doesn't have a good camp or a good preseason, and you cut ties,
and we never think about him again.
You have an open roster spot again, and best case is he comes into camp, feels healthy, feels good. You have a shot blocker on the roster. I mean, that's the best case, or best and worst case scenario.
Couldn't have said it better.
Worst case, you have an open roster spot during training camp. Best case, you have someone that can make a difference during the season.
Yep.
It's not like they had to spend money to get him, to give anything up. Nope. They still have flexibility. Mm-hmm. We talked about, I think, last week that you can have up to 20 players on your training camp roster. Yeah. So they can add more players still, like we saw with Bazemore last year and those kind of guys. So I like it. I mean, now the Kings have someone they can say, we're getting beat in the paint. Let's throw Nerlens Noel out there and see what he can do. They didn't have it before, because, again, Alex Len, not a shot blocker. Guy that sets screens. He's physical. He can rebound. Sabonis, we know he can do a lot of things. He's not a rim protector. I think it's a fine move. It's fine depending on who or when you look at who's out there. I think that was the best option they could have gotten as a third-string center, which, of course, could spell the end of the Miazketa era, which I think you point out last week that you think it is over.
Seems like it's over.
Still quiet. A lot of quiet.
It's really, really quiet. Yeah, it's been
quiet out there.
Very quiet on the Western front. You mentioned earlier that we're going to go through the depth of the team. Let's get into that. Go just, you know, we'll do a preliminary just so, you know, we have it right in front of our faces, but just to lay it out for all the listeners there. Point guard depth, obviously we have De'Aaron Fox up top, head of the snake. We got Davion Mitchell backing him up. At the shooting guard position, you got Kevin Huerter as the starting spot. Malik Monk obviously is his backup. You've got guys like Keon Ellis behind him if you want to throw Kessler Edwards in there as well. At small forward, you've got Harrison Barnes or Keegan Murray. We'll just say Harrison Barnes just for sake of easiness. Then I imagine you would have Chris Duarte backing him up. And then, you know, then you can also have Kessler Edwards sliding up to the three as well.
Kevin Huerter in some spots.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Maybe Keon Ellis if he's going to get some minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I also forgot to mention Colby Jones in the the shooting guard lineup. Yes. He's not
ESPN has it a little different than we would have.
Super confusing.
We're just trying to lay all the names out.
Yes.
And have it be kind of there, but it's a lot different than I would like to lay out.
Yeah. Yeah, Keegan Murray at the four. Obviously, Sasha Vezenkov, heavily talked about this offseason, backing him up at the four. You can also throw, again, like you said, Harrison Barnes out there, Trey Lyles out there. I think that's it. Yeah, and then at center, we were just discussing that. You have Domantas Sabonis, obviously holding things down at that starter spot. You've got Trey Lyles, seemingly as his backup, Alex Len, and now Nerlens Noel.
Yes.
Nothing yet on the Nemeas Cata front, so we won't say that. But he is on this list that we're looking at. First off, just initial thoughts about the overall depth. Would you say Kings are deeper this year, not as deep, or about the same?
I think they're deeper this year. I think when you look at the fact that you get to go to not just one, but now you have two formidable. I mean, like, you'd like to think, we don't know what Sasha Vezenkov can do at the NBA level, but two players you can kind of throw out there and say, wow, I trust these guys to play 20-plus minutes. You have Sasha and Trey Lyles that can be there in that power forward spot. I guess the spot that scares me the most right now, it's probably the point guard spot, just because if De'Aaron Fox were to miss any time, the Kings have Davion Mitchell and then no one.
Nobody.
Which, again, open roster spot. There are some players out there still. I've seen some talk about Jordan Ford. Will he get that final roster spot? Will they go back and try to reunite with George Hill, who I think will be 37, but he's
I have not seen that. That's so weird. No, that's so random.
I don't think that's the right move either. Yeah. But there's also people like out there, again, DJ Augustine.
Yeah.
They're guys like for the deep bench.
So random, remember, yeah.
How random was it when the Kings signed Matthew Dellavedova last year?
Very, very.
So they,
very.
There might be something like that.
Mind
up,
you, though,
up
Deli's 32. Those guys you just mentioned are 36, 37. Yeah.
DJ like, Augustine's been playing, I think, since I was like in seventh grade.
He played college basketball with Kevin Durant, who Kevin Durant obviously now is, you know, old in this league. I think KD's like 35, 36.
DJ Augustine was drafted when I was in eighth grade. You were probably in seventh grade.
2007?
2000, summer 2008. So actually, I was going into high school. Yeah. You were going into eighth grade.
Yeah. My grades are easy like that.
Yeah, I think we're both kind of the same way. Yeah. Mine's on the back end, yours on the front end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How the years go with it.
Yeah.
That's always pretty
super,
cool.
Super convenient.
That is really cool.
Super cool, dude.
That's super cool,
dude, that's
man.
So cool.
DJ Augustine is 35. He'll be 36 in November. So, yeah, they need to have more depth at that point guard spot. Yeah. I think, again, we talked about, though, if your stars get hurt, you're screwed. But the Kings had this one of the best case scenario, healthiest years that you will ever see from one of your teams.
Yeah.
Like ever.
I think actually statistically they were the healthiest team of all time in terms of their starting lineup and how many games as a collective their starting lineup missed. I believe I heard that they were statistically the healthiest team of all time.
So Harrison Barnes, all 82. Keegan Murray, 80. Davion, 80. Sabonis, 79. Malik, 77. Kevin, 75. Trey, 74. De'Aaron, 73. We're talking about...
Get healthy, De'Aaron. That Jeez. Was
injury
Come on,
prone.
Dude.
Injury
God,
prone.
Your team needs you.
Injury problem. Well, that was like a good thing to see from Fox, though, because I think last year was his first year playing over 59 games in 4 years.
He kind of had that, he has that Dame thing going on, or had that Dame thing going on, where it's more just like they shut him down, though. Like, instead of him actually being hurt, like, he probably could have played 60-plus games in those seasons, but, you know, since the Kings were all but out of it, it was like, what's the point? Just shut him down.
And so, one was a... Was COVID? He said he came out. Remember, he said
he
was really sick.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I think it was the end of the 20 season before last season. I think it was like in May or eight,
yeah, he missed a good.
The season
of
went
time.
Into May, so yeah. But there's like I guess that's a spot I didn't start with the spot that I feel more strongly about. I went to the one I'm most concerned about. So I guess I'll go to you. Which spot are you concerned about the most? Before we'll do the bad first and get into the good.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I feel like I express all the time how concerned I am, not just even at the Kings' depth at backup point guard, but I don't really love Davion Mitchell as the backup point guard. I think he's really, really solid. He's got, to me, this is a big prove it year for Davion. If he's going to be a long term, you know,
guy.
Yeah, like if you're going to lock him in as your backup or maybe even potentially on a different team, a starting point guard, he's got to show it this year because, you know, frankly, his defense has been incredible. We all know that. We all know Davion's calling card is his defense, but he's 6 feet tall and he's a point guard. He's got to be able to run an offense at some point and or be able to knock down shots at a consistent level to where you can put him in the corner and use him as an offensive weapon. If he can't do that this year, I just think you have to at some point really look at that spot and try and get another playmaker in. He's fine. He's told, as they showed last year, I mean, Davion Mitchell is more than capable of being a contributor on a playoff team. I'm not saying he's a bum and should be out of the league by no stretch of the imagination. It's just that could be, to me, that's a spot that I look at and I'm like, if you upgrade that spot, that could potentially take you to another level. But obviously, I mean, that and the backup center are massive, massive gaps. I think I love Trey Lyles. I'm a huge supporter of Trey Lyles at the five, but it comes with its limitations for sure. Like, he's not a rim protector. He is a tenacious rebounder, but does that necessarily mean that he will be able to rebound with other bigs? Still yet to be seen, you know, especially at the Kings were the worst rebounding team in the NBA last year and yet had the best rebounder in the NBA last year, which should tell you that everybody else just doesn't rebound. And so I think that's going to be another hole for this team. Those are really the two things that I think are really concerning. Besides that, you know, we can transition into the best part. I really think the Kings are incredibly deep in a lot of other positions. I think their deepest position is the power forward position. Yeah. I mean, when you can realistically throw out Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, Trey Lyles, or Sasha Vezenkov at that spot. Those are all starters. Yeah. Like, those are starter quality guys. Obviously, Trey is probably the back end of that, but all of those guys you can put in the starting lineup and probably feel pretty good about what you're going to do that night. Like, it's not like you throw those guys in there and you're having to play around them, or, you know, you wish that you would have somebody else there. I think all of those guys are capable on any given night of putting up high level production. And obviously, it looks different for each one of those guys, what a high production game would look like, but I think all of those guys are great options to have. And you know, at a interesting swing position at that four spot, you know, you can really be versatile with it. I would wish that those guys were more threes than fours, but you know, with how they are, they're more fours than threes. And I think that's, you know, there's some benefit to having a really good power forward class.
It's funny because power forward was like the weakest spot the Kings have had for a while.
Long
I mean,
time.
I guess small forward and power forward both were very weak.
Yeah.
And obviously, the point guard spot with De'Aaron Fox historically has been pretty strong. DeMarcus Cousins was a dominant center. But that power forward and small forward spots, yeah, now they have a lot of interchangeability. Yeah. And I think overall, and I guess I'll highlight a position in a second, but they're just overall second unit to me. It really excites me. On paper right here, I have Davion Mitchell, Malik Monk, Chris Duarte, Sasha, and Trey Lyles as their backup unit. And I feel good about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good five. And obviously, you'll see Fox and Sabonis, like, the starters, Keegan Murray, they'll split some guys up. I don't think it'll be all five.
No, it will not be like a platoon or anything
but,
like that.
But having guys like that, I mean, your deep bench is Nerlens Noel, Alex Len, Kessler Edwards, Colby Jones. You know, Colby Jones and Kessler are some guys you want to grow into hopefully young pieces for the future. It excites me.
Yeah,
I think we did last year. Kings were really, I think, about 7-8 players deep last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beyond their starters. And this year, I think they're 10 deep.
Yeah.
At least 10, 11.
At least. Yeah, I think they're at least 10 deep. And I think that they're truly one of the deepest teams in the NBA. And I don't think we've really ever been able to say that. Like,
no.
I think the Kings' real strength this year is just going to be their, to take a Warriors term, it's going to be their strength in numbers. Like, I think the fact that they can, like you said, throw out 10 guys, maybe even 11 if Colby Jones ends up being somebody that you can rely on, maybe 12 if Kessler Edwards can you know, continue to grow upon what we saw last year and, you know, had some flashes in Summer League as well. I think that this is that's going to be the thing that could really set the Kings apart, especially when you talk about them going against teams like Phoenix, who's so top heavy and going to be one of the tougher teams to take down in the Western Conference. The Kings have that depth advantage, and you know, other teams are going to have to deal with that. It's really, really tough to beat teams that can come at you for 48 minutes with solid play. Not many can.
I said on the air with you guys too the other day, I think Whitey asked me, where do I have the Kings? Or I think it was with Dave and Jason. It was Dave and Jason. Where do I have the Kings in the West right now? I said like top six, top seven, and some people in the comments were pretty like upset by that. They thought they were higher. I mean, where do you have them right now? Because I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Them top six, I think in my opinion, that's fair. I have the standings right here. I mean, last year, obviously, you have Denver, you have Memphis, Phoenix, the Warriors, the Lakers. I mean, I just think the Kings are in that 5-6 spot. I'm just wondering, have you had a chance to kind of think about, we don't have to dive into each team here. I'm just wondering, do you think they're a top six team or are they kind of more in the play-in?
No, I think they're a top six team. Yesterday on the show, we went through ESPN.com, released their power rankings.
12, right?
And yeah, the Kings were 12th, but they were 7th
in the West.
It was behind Denver. It was behind Memphis, Phoenix, the Clippers, Lakers. The Lakers, and the Warriors. And they had the Kings seventh there.
I think that's fair.
I don't think the Warriors should be above the Kings. I think that there's a lot of questions about whether or not that's going to work. They run about 5-6 deep.
What else they do this offseason? What other moves did they make?
I mean, they got less deep. I mean,
they traded their
best bench talent in Jordan Poole for Chris Paul, who is another year older. And, I mean, the conversation has been accurate. Like, they don't know how Chris Paul is going to fit into that system. It's not a seamless fit. I think it's been overblown. I think Chris Paul is going to make it work. He's a fantastic player and one of the best point guards of all time. He's going to figure out how to play in that system. But yeah, it's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be seamless. And I just think the Kings, more than anybody, have a level of continuity that nobody else has. Like, a lot of people thought it as a negative that the Kings brought their guys back, but how many teams in the Western Conference can really say they're running back the same team they had last year and there's a level of continuity? It's Denver, it's the Clippers, possibly, depending on what they end up doing in the James Harden thing. The health thing is going to be a big question. The Lakers, to an extent.
Memphis will be interesting.
Memphis doesn't have Ja for 25 games.
Over a quarter of a season.
And the Kings can absolutely get off. That's going to be the key for me. If the Kings have to get off to a good start this, they don't have to, but it would be very beneficial for them to get off to a really good start this
year. Well, I'm intrigued. And the schedule, that might be the next one we record. It might come out in the next week or two. Mm-hmm. But I'm intrigued to see how much the Kings play Memphis before that 25 game mark. Because if they play Memphis twice in the first 25 games of the season, I mean, those games matter. I mean, every game obviously matters, but if you can go out there and beat Memphis,
25
early,
games is also good chunk of games. Last year, the 25th game I looked for the Kings was on December 11th.
Yeah.
So we're talking pretty much, I mean, it's especially, Christmas it's going to take, yeah, exactly, it's going to take him some time
season,
to ramp up.
The season's starting later this year, too.
Season, is it really?
Season starting, I believe, October, like in the 20s.
Usually it starts to 25th, like 26th. That's usually when game one usually is. I mean, yeah, it would be huge. I mean, Jaw, yeah, he's not going to be officially, like, you know, he might practice with the team leading it. Well, actually, I don't think he can practice with the team. He has to be away from team facilities for 25 games. So
opening night, by the way, is October 24th. So we're about a week later.
That's normal.
Last year, I think it was like on the 17th, wasn't it?
No, because my birthday's on the 26th. And
are we sure?
Yeah, opening night is almost always around
my
birthday.
Push it back?
Maybe last year it might have been.
Did they push it back to being?
Traditionally, it's been
The 19th. So I guess it's that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
It's about a week later, though.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that'll be good for the Kings in that John Morant situation. I just think people aren't really considering the fact that the Kings did 0-4 last year. They got off to a really slow start. It feels like a really long time ago where it was the Heat, the Blazers, the Clippers,
Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies as well. Right. Yeah, that Desmond Bane 30 piece. I remember that.
Yeah, and then they ended up winning, I think, like 9 of their next 11, I think. Or 10 of their next 12. They just really rattled it off. Yeah, then they went 10-6.
Getting off to a good start would be huge for this team. I just think it would really set the tone. And teams, again, like Memphis, like Phoenix, who has to figure out that trio, plus Ayton as well, who I forget about all the time.
We're talking about how we're like the cockroaches of 11-4.
Oh, my God.
Because we just stick around through all these changes.
DeAndre Ayton.
He's the cockroach
of it all, bro.
Phoenix. He's there.
He somehow has managed to stay.
He's still there.
The guy that they picked over Luka that they don't want, no one ever talks about.
He doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, no, he doesn't want to be there. They don't want him there. I think the only reason why they brought him back on that restricted free agency was because they were like, I guess. Can't let him go for nothing, so I guess we'll take him. But, I mean, I think the Kings are in a really good situation. I think, you know, obviously health and all that stuff isn't something you can predict, but I think if things go well for the Kings, they could be a 4 seed. They could be a 5 seed, no question.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, nobody saw them finishing third last year.
Right. I don't think – I would be shocked if they finished third again. I will say that. But I don't think that it's going to be some massive fall off. I think a lot of last year was legit.
I will say the Lakers – are intriguing to me, and then we'll move on and finish things up pretty soon here. But I don't know. They made a lot of good moves this offseason, but I still just feel like something about them just feels off to me. Like, I feel like the LeBron effect, maybe, how he missed time and they looked really out of whack. And obviously, if it's him or AD, or if one of him or AD are out, they just don't work.
Yeah.
But like the championship odds, and like the predictions for next year are kind of crazy. People are really high on the Lakers, and I'm just a little confused by it because is Gabe Vincent a good player?
Yeah.
Is Austin Reaves a good player? Sure. Taurean Prince, he's depth. But does this mean that the Lakers are going to be one of the top four, three teams in the West?
You know how these things work. It's the Lakers. Like, it gets the people going, and people are always going to bet on them and all that stuff. And people aren't taking into account the fact that LeBron James is about to be a 40-year-old man. And, like, he's not going to be able to play 82 games. And he's already started to fall victim to the injury bug after years and years and years and years and years and years and years of holding it off. He's finally I do not say that, like, he finally, thank God, LeBron's finally getting hurt. But, like, it finally caught up with him.
Everyone breaks down at
some point. Even Kobe, like, once he tore his Achilles, like, he was never really the same. And LeBron had a really serious ankle injury last year that kept him out of games when he usually wouldn't miss that many games.
So it's his Laker era as a whole. Because in the last year in Cleveland, believe it or not, when he was 34, 82 Washed. Games. He played in 82 games.
Yeah.
And with the Lakers, there's a fly killing us. It's wreaking havoc. Wreak havoc. Terry Evans. LeBron played in 55 games, 67, 45, 56, 55. This man's not played in 70 games for Lakers again because he's getting old.
Yeah, it's a matter of time. And, like, you know, Anthony Davis also is not the model of perfect health.
Beacon of physical fitness.
Exactly. Like, he's somebody who's always going to fall on injury. And, you know, last season was, to many extents, a season from hell for the Lakers, at least that first half with Russell Westbrook and going through all of the, you know, LeBron breaking the record thing and all that was absolutely the distraction. But they still got to get through the 82 games. Like, making the playoffs, they showed last year that if they make the playoffs, they're a tough out, 100%, especially if they're healthy. But they have to make it there.
They have to get there first.
And, you know, the 82 games is really, really long. And if they don't have LeBron James and don't have Anthony Davis for a majority of those games, they're not going to be in a position to win. They just aren't. Like, I'm a huge Austin Reaves fan.
Really?
He's not, yes. I'm a big Austin Reaves believer. Absolutely. I think that dude is 100% legit. But he can't carry a team to the playoffs. Absolutely not.
No, and people need to stop acting like that. He can.
No. I mean, he was really impressive last year, but he was impressive in the situation he was in.
He's a good role player.
Yeah, he's a really good role player.
I mean, and like, the West is going to be a dogfight. There's a lot of question mark teams. I mean, Oklahoma City was decent last year.
They're
going
to be better.
Forward?
No, they're going to be better. Minnesota, I have a tough time thinking they're just going to continue to suck forever. I think Anthony Edwards can take a leap.
You have
the Pelicans. They were the one seed at one point last year.
Yeah, they really fell off. They nosedived. Yeah. And then obviously you have the biggest question mark, in my opinion, the Dallas Mavericks, who have
Dallas Mavericks,
Kyrie
Utah
and,
Jazz, too.
And Luka.
Yeah.
Jazz, yeah. I mean, they could be good. They got John Collins. That's fine. Portland's going to be awful.
They're not going to be good.
Awful. I mean, even if Dame plays, they're not going to be good. No. And San Antonio is going to beat his Wemby. Wemby time, if you want to watch the Spurs.
Well, so, we know that's a real challenge for the Kings.
Yeah.
The Spurs, you know.
So, yeah.
Big bads.
It's exciting times. We now are going to do...
I need to text you.
I think Chris has... If anyone out there plays Immaculate Grid, Chris made a Kings one.
I did.
And I think we're going to share it.
We'll share it tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Probably.
Well, I think we're putting this out on Friday. We're recording this on Thursday. I think we're putting this out Friday. So...
Whenever you're ready, friend.
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to send this to you. I'm not sure how... I'm going to... while you do it... So we're going to put a timer on you.
Okay.
And you know what? We'll do it. You do it vocally, but I'm going to send it to you. But before I start the clock, I'm going to, just so the listening audience has an idea of what you're doing, I'm going to read out the categories,
okay,
if that makes sense. Okay. Cool. So I'm going to send it to you. You can look at it for as long as it takes me to describe what is on.
And wait, for those of you who are on audio only, go to sacktownsports.com. This will be in the post.
Yes.
We'll put this graphic in the post for the podcast. You can, if you want to, like, look at it as we go along. We'll leave it blank, and you can do it yourselves.
Okay. I am calling this the Royal Grid, and I am sending it to Frankie now, so he will get it on his laptop. Now I will describe to everybody what is on the list, what are the things Frankie will be trying to match, I guess. So on the top row of this royal grid, yes, if you will. If you aren't familiar with it, you might have to look at what an immaculate grid looks like, so it makes a little bit more sense. But on the top row, we have played in Arco Arena. That is from 1988 through 2016. After that, it's 20-point per game season. And after that, it is an NBA champion. So he will have to match those with going, what is that, vertically, yeah, down, Golden State Warrior, top 10 pick, and played in a playoff game for the Sacramento Kings. All of these names, every single player you use will have to have played for, yes, the Sacramento Kings. That is the only thing that is different. So it's kind of like matching three things as opposed to where Immaculate Grid would just be, okay, Heat Warrior, okay, that's it. This one has to be played in Arco Arena, Golden State Warrior, but also played for the Kings. So it's just a third added caveat on top of that.
It's legit Immaculate Grid.
It was very, very hard to think of subjects or categories that are big enough to where there are multiple different answers.
I have no idea.
Okay, ready? Okay. I just went to calculator and set a clock, so that bought you a couple seconds. Your time, we are going to give you, depending on how long it's going to take you, I'm going to initially say you got a minute and a half to get this done. Do you think you can get it done in a minute and a half?
I think so.
Okay. Your time starts. And also verbally speak this out.
I'm going to speak everything out. Okay. Yeah. And again, go to sacktownsports.com and you can look at the grid while we're going along with it.
Yes.
It should be up now if you're seeing this or hearing this. It'll be up on the website.
Go.
All right. A player that played for the Kings and the Warriors and played in Arco Arena. I'm going with Carl Landry.
Okay, that works.
Top 10 pick in the NBA draft that played in Arco Arena. I am going to go with Bobby Hurley.
Sure, that works.
Played a playoff game for Sacramento in Arco Arena. I'm going to go Vlade.
That works.
A 20-point per game season that played for the Kings and the Warriors. This is the one I'm kind of having a tough time.
It can be 20 points per game at any point in their career.
Any point in their career.
So they have a season that has 20 points per game. There you go. That works.
Mitch Richmond.
Also, as you know, you can only use a name once.
Yeah, only once. A top 10 pick in the NBA draft. 20 points per game. DeMarcus Cousins.
Yes. Yes, that works.
Played a playoff game for Sacramento and averaged 20-plus points per game. Chris Webber.
That works.
A Warrior that played for the Kings and is an NBA champion. Did I do this one?
No, you have not.
Nemanja Bjelica.
That works.
A top 10 pick in the NBA draft that played for the Kings and is an NBA champion. Top 10 pick. That went on to be an NBA champion.
Yes, does not have to be a top 10 pick by the Sacramento Kings. Does not have to have been picked in the top 10.
Just need to play for the Kings.
Had to have played for the Kings, had to have been a top 10 pick by any franchise, and has to have won an NBA title.
Ooh,
I got five people on this.
How much time do I have?
You have 5 seconds, so I'm going to give you another 30. I'm going to give you another 30 because...
Just explaining it.
Yes.
Okay, let me go to play a playoff game for Sac and win an NBA championship first.
Played in a playoff game for Sac and also won an NBA
title. Stojakovic.
Peja Stojakovic works.
Won a championship with the Mavericks. Yep. Top 10 pick that played for the Kings and went on to win a championship. Come on.
I found five names. Top 10
pick. I'm really stumped on this one.
2 minutes. Just hit. I'll give you 15 seconds to figure this out.
Anyone out there is probably someone's,
anyone out there someone's screaming. There's
screaming at
there's
me.
One or two that are like
pretty easy.
Yeah.
That I should know.
Yeah.
A top 10 pick?
Yeah. Does not have to have been a top 10 pick from the Kings.
Just tell me.
Harrison Barnes.
Oh my God.
Mitch Richmond.
I already said him.
Tristan Thompson.
Oh my God. No.
Jason Williams and Otis Thorpe. Were all top 10 picks that played for the Sacramento Kings and also won an NBA championship.
I should have gotten HB. I'm disappointed about that one.
Should I say the other names that I had listed for some of these other top, like some of the, like you obviously, you said Carl Landry for Kings that played in Arco and were a Warrior.
Yeah.
Other options, Jason Thompson, Omri Caspi, DeMarcus Cousins, Mitch Richmond, Chris Webber, Harrison Barnes. I don't believe Dante DiVincenzo would have qualified for this. I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure he never played in Arco Arena. I'm pretty sure he got drafted after 2016.
He got drafted, I think, in 19.
The 20-point per game scorers that were also Golden State Warriors and Sacramento Kings, DeMarcus, Chris Webber, HB, Mitch Richmond, Golden State Warriors that were also Kings and NBA champions. I have Mitch Richmond, Harrison Barnes, Chucky Brown.
Chucky Brown.
Tony Massenberg, who I didn't. This is literally, I had to like go year by year and look at everybody. And then Matt Barnes.
Wait,
who
I forgot was Massenberg's champion. Oh, Spurs.
Spurs, yeah.
Wow.
Who knew? Yeah, Matt Barnes as well. Top 10 picks who played for the Kings and also played in Arco Arena. Obviously, there's a ton. I just listed more from this era. Ben McLemore, Nick Stauskas, Thomas Robinson, DeMarcus Cousins, Tyreke Evans, and you said Bobby Hurley. That's a correct answer. Picks. There's tons. There's literally too many to list. 20 point per game, top 10 picks. De'Aaron Fox. DeMarcus Cousins.
Yep.
Chris Webber. Buddy Hield. Those all fit. Those were the names that that I got. There's also a couple more. NBA champs who were top 10 picks. Mitch Richmond, HB, Tristan Thompson, Jason Williams, Otis Thorpe. I said that one. And then I didn't do the 20-point per game scores for played in the playoff or played in Arco because there was a lot of people there. But NBA champions who were Kings and also played in a playoff game for the Kings. I've got Peja, Mitch Richmond, Jay Will, Chucky Brown, HB, Scott Pollard, Vernon Maxwell, and Eddie House.
What is that? That is not a very long list.
Not, no.
Scott
that,
Pollard.
It was really hard to make that.
The 08 Celtics.
08 Celtics, yeah. This I completely cool, forgot about that.
We'll put this out on socials, yeah, too, and hopefully people didn't have it spoiled for them. Yeah. But you should try to do this before you listen to this.
Yes, we'll, I would, yeah, maybe.
I'll put that. I'll put a disclaimer in the podcast post. But this is cool. This is great.
Thank
I love
you.
These. And if you haven't checked it out, it's basketball, baseball reference, all the reference pages on Sports Reference. They're doing Immaculate Grid, and it's just like this. And Chris nailed it, man. You
Thank you.
It.
Yeah, that was really hard. It's really because, like, especially once, like, you would just have to find things that, again, have multiple answers for them. And the Kings obviously don't really have the richest history. And so it is kind of hard. Once I put NBA champion on there, I was like, that really narrows it down to a really small list.
The top 10 pick and the champion thing, it stumped me. I should have known HB.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was fun, man. We could,
good.
I mean, maybe,
yeah, I'll try. I'm going to try and swap them around every so often if I can. But like I said, it's kind of hard. So we'll see.
That'd
maybe
cool.
I can change one name. But
maybe you could shake it up for tomorrow or something. Have
yeah.
it different.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'll
can go with it. But yeah, that's
a good point. Yeah, maybe I can shake it up.
Okay. Well, now we're kind of waiting for the schedule to drop. This is the way that the offseason goes.
Yep. Like you said, I think we're probably going to take a week off just because, unless something
happens.
Massive happens. Or
George
any, really, if there's any news, even if Jordan Ford signs, maybe we'll hop on for like 10, 15 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah. Unless, if there's absolutely no news, we're not big believers in recording just for the sake of recording. If we're going to give y'all something, we want to make sure that we actually have something to say. So,
yeah. You don't want to just. You know, this is fun, but we don't want to waste your time either.
No, exactly. And let's not waste their any more of their time.
No.
How about that?
Let's shut up.
Anything else? You good?
No, I'm good, man. I'm just gonna go and see Oppenheimer tomorrow.
Really?
I saw
Have
Barbie.
You already seen the Barbie?
Barbie
portion?
Was great.
Okay,
I like Barbie a lot.
I've heard it's good. Sam said I'm not gonna like it. So,
you know, why wouldn't you like it?
I don't know.
It's not even like what you think. It's
no,
not,
I, she just said like I probably won't like the direction it went. She said it's
really?
Pretty random. I don't know. Maybe she could be completely wrong. I think it's gonna be funny.
I think
it should
really
be
funny.
Good. I have high hopes. I think Oppenheimer is gonna give me a lot of anxiety.
Are
you concerned about that? Because yeah, you're anxious like I am.
I am.
But it's more about him, correct? Like it's more of like a biography, if you will,
it's about
as
him.
Opposed to like. Let's really dive in on nuclear weapons.
Apparently, it's like he. Well, I think he was like created that.
Yeah,
and it was like, whoops, like shouldn't have done that. And that's kind of like what the whole point is: how he regretted it, I think, and how he kind of had to. Move
I would
through
hope so.
Feeling guilty about he created like
sure the end of the earth, pretty much,
pretty possibly.
Yeah,
yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, I just feel like I'm just gonna feel a lot of imminent doom. After watching it, like I already kind of went through like 5 or maybe 10 years. I don't even know how long ago. I feel like when I like really did some like, okay, atomic bombs can realistically be dropped at any point. I feel like it was like when North Korea was.
That's what I'm going through too. But those things keep like they're like the little the things like that. You know, like that air gun, like where you shoot like a styrofoam rocket and you like they just go like 5 feet.
Yeah,
that's kind of like what I think North Korea is doing with their ballistic missiles. They're
see,
like,
see, I'm not gonna test that. I'm not.
But I was
I'm not
afraid.
Testing Kim Jong Un's, you know, gangster or nothing.
I want the smoke.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Crazy.
Would you win
zero
a fight
smoke.
With Kim Jong Un?
I think so.
I think so. I think we take him.
I don't think he's got hands. There's no way. He seems
by himself though. Just by himself.
Yeah. Oh, obviously. Yeah. I don't want the Korean guard coming.
No,
at
they
you.
Probably.
They probably.
They probably want.
They're
that
probably
business.
Ruthless, but
they probably would. Yeah.
I feel like I could take him.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he's short too.
Maybe
he's
we can set small. That up. Yeah.
Let's do it.
You got to reach on him.
Yeah. It'll be the opener of the next Jake Paul fight.
He's got to have bad cardio. Him. I doubt.
Oh,
I
guarantee.
I bet he does not have good cardio.
Have you seen the interview?
With yes, yeah, yeah.
Dave. just imagine them playing basketball. Yeah, it's so great.
He definitely is a guy that floats on the perimeter.
Oh, absolutely.
He doesn't play defense and pick up.
No, there's no way.
He just floats on the perimeter. He just sits down low. He's not an ideal pickup game partner. And his Rockets.
I've got
suck.
No comment. got no comment to that. And his Rockets. Okay, right. Before we get into any trouble or cause any international incidents or something.
We're the ones that he sees and he's like, oh, crazy. That's it.
Comment. For Frankie Grotticelli, my name is Chris Watkins. We'll see you next week or in a couple weeks or something. I don't know. Bye-bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.